Today on the In All Kinds of Weather forecast, a lot to discuss in the world of Gator football, specifically Gator football recruiting. Peyton Joseph decommits. We'll talk about if that is a big loss or if that's something that the Gators can more or less overcome. Spoiler alert, it is going to be the latter of those two. We'll talk about why. We'll also talk about how some former Florida Gator leans slash commits slash signees are, for better or worse, not quite seeing their college careers play out the way that maybe a lot of people thought they would. We'll talk about all that and more today on the In All Kinds of Weather forecast. And welcome into the In All Kinds of Weather forecast. My name is Mike Gillespie. Reminder to give us a like and follow on YouTube. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Go to IAKOW brand on social media. That's at All Kinds Weather on Twitter and at All Kinds Weather blog on Instagram. Also follow IAKOW forecast on Twitter and follow me, Mike A. Gillespie, on Twitter as well. I am your host today. Neil Schulman, of course, is the brains behind the operation. Loving what I'm doing so far, man. I can't say thank you enough to you, Neil, for having me on board. Third show together, and I already feel like we've been doing this for years. So it's pretty cool, man. So thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it was an easy call. And as soon as I found out that you were looking for stuff to do, I didn't think twice about it. It was the easiest decision I made with the In All Kinds of Weather brand to date. Nice. So yeah, man, good stuff. We've had some good combos so far. Last show we talked about Gator basketball recruiting. Today we have another sports recruiting efforts to talk about. This one maybe not going so swimmingly. Some positives. There's some things to maybe take positively, some other things that are just not great. And we'll talk about all of it.
Yeah, 4-star offensive lineman Peyton Joseph decommitting. Not great, Bob. I don't think that's wonderful news, especially when you lose a blue chipper on the offensive line. That's never great. And to compound the negative parts of this, he may end up going to a rival school, which we could be talking about a lot on this podcast today because it seems to be a growing trend. But yeah, Peyton Joseph committed to Florida a couple months back. I think it was February, and seemed to be a lock. And then he started spending more time on Florida State's campus than the University of Florida's campus. Kind of raised some alarms. And then here we go. Joseph decommits. And it's, yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's much hope for Florida to get him back at this point.
No, there's not. And I think Florida is just going to have to look elsewhere for their offensive linemen. I mean, so the one positive I'll say about Billy Napier is he has hit the jackpot in the transfer portal before. He also kind of planted that seed at Louisiana and then just basically deplanted it by just uprooting it and taking it from Louisiana to Florida and Osiris Torrance, who was great, got a brick, All-American, first team All-American. Other than that, and a couple of Mullen holdovers like Austin Barber, Ethan White, Michael Tarquin in his first season, not a lot of positives to talk about on the offensive line. I mean, Micah Mazkua was okay. I wouldn't say by any means he was great. He was, you know, he did some good things. Obviously, the meme of him squaring up against Tennessee will always live on. But yeah, on the field, you know, between the white lines, just didn't live up to the billing that I think a lot of Gator fans put on him. And, you know, Damian George, I think there was a reason why Alabama wanted him. Nick Saban recruits you. You're obviously talented. You obviously can play, but came to Florida and maybe he was out of position. There's an argument to be said there. Didn't get the job done. So for better or worse, the offensive line has been an issue for Florida under Billy Napier. And now you're talking about another guy who is supposed to be the linchpin in the next couple of years. You know, you did get Fletcher Westfall. Speaking of flips from rivals, we flipped Roderick Kearney from FSU a couple cycles ago. Right. That's good, but there's just not enough there. that you can say, okay, losing this piece here is fine and dandy. No, it's not. No, it's not, because you need pieces now.
Especially what you saw in the orange and blue game over a week ago. I mean, that backup offensive line comes out and, you know, all of a sudden DJ Lagway is, you know, running for his life with the twos. So, you know, you don't love that part. Clearly, there's some depth issues there at O-line. And, you know, I'm a big Parcells guy, man. I believe in building a football team from the offensive defensive lines out. Right. And the closer you get to the ball, the more important your position is. And it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of depth right now on that offensive line that's, you know, proven and, you know, pretty solid. So anytime you lose a guy, especially, like I said, in the top, you know, 300 of ESPN's recruiting rankings, that's a big deal. I do want to say, though, I think it's an important point to make that it wasn't necessarily Florida's fault or anything that they did wrong. I think there's a bigger piece in play here for Peyton Joseph. His cousin plays for Florida State on that offensive line. I think that was kind of the connection there. He loves Florida State's offensive line coach, Alex Atkins. So, you know, clearly there's a good bond there, and I don't think Florida fans or Florida staff should take it, you know, that personally. I think it was just, hey, you know, I want to go play with my fan. And to be clear, he hasn't committed yet, but all signs point to Peyton Joseph going to Florida State. There's, you know, some news, though. I mean, up here in South Carolina, a big commitment, actually, his name is Zach Owens. I played at Clemson last year. Florida was involved in his recruitment as well, offered him a full ride, a scholarship. He is entering the transfer portal, wants to get out of Clemson. So maybe there's a tie there to the Florida Gators, you know, coming back, near home. I'm not sure, but, that could be a really big pickup for Florida. There are options out there, but, you know, we'll see over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely are options out there. I personally think he was underranked. He was, I think, a 3-star. Maybe one of them had him as a 4-star, but like overall, the composite had him as a 3-star prospect. I happen to think that he's one of those guys that can maybe outplay that ranking. Again, my issue with recruiting right now is not any one guy. It's not like I'm not disputing anything you said about the personal connection with him to FSU. My thing is, if you're Billy, you can't afford anything to go wrong right now for whatever reason, whoever you want to blame for it. If it's your fault, if it's Austin Armstrong's fault, if it's the Tooth Fairy's fault, if it's Justin Bieber's fault, it doesn't matter. You can't have things go wrong right now. You're 11-14. Definitely. You had a number 3 recruiting class in the country that completely fell apart. Depending on the ranking system that you trust, you didn't even have a top 10 class. So you're not in a position right now where you can have things go wrong, because perception is reality, for better or worse. And the perception is that this is not a good program based on the reality that we saw play out in the games last year. Like, again, I talked about this a couple months ago, or maybe it was a month ago now. That loss to Arkansas had consequences that we saw play out long after that final touchdown pass. Like losing Joe Hamilton to Texas A&M. Yeah, I know he's from that state, but you beat Arkansas, you don't give up 4th-and-17 to Missouri, and then you pick off one more game, like maybe Utah or Kentucky, you finish 8-4. I don't think he leaves. I don't think that you lose your strength and conditioning guy to Boston College if Florida's 8-4 last year and talked about as a potential playoff team this upcoming season. And for that same line of logic, if Florida was thought to be a legitimate CFP contender, maybe he leaves for that connection to FSU. Gets a lot harder to convince him to leave if he is, or if they did. So right now the bleeding has to stop. You have to just wrap around the tourniquet and just say, look, we're building for the future. The past is the past. Things can't go wrong right now. This is not the time in his career or in this offseason where you can have anything go wrong, for better or worse. And I wrote about this on the site. I don't think it's that big of a deal because of the transfer portal, but again, you're not in a position to be taking any more bullets here.
Well, and I think there's no bigger indicator of just the perception of this program than when you look at, you know, some of these, you know, the best Gators in history, right? Okay, well, their sons are now playing very good football at 16, 17, 18 years old, these legacies, right? Miles Graham, Florida nearly lost Miles Graham. How do you lose Ernest Graham's kid? Now, it didn't happen, but it was about to happen. And, you know, that's unacceptable. Vernell Brown's son. Vernell Brown is, oh my God. I mean, he's one of the best defenders I've ever seen in my life. How in the world, does his kid, you know, like Ohio State better than Florida? That should never happen. And I think it's because, again, Neil, what you just said, there is a perception out there nationally that Florida isn't the brand that it once was. You know, they're not playing the style of football they once did. And there are a lot of question marks about Billy Napier too. Could this be his last year? You know, and look, guys don't want to come in. I don't blame them. Guys don't want to come into a position where, hey, okay, by their sophomore year or their junior year, they're going to be playing for a different coach, you know, and then they're going to have to transfer. No one wants to deal with that mess. So I completely understand where these recruits are coming from. However, you know, guys that have grown up sort of in that Gator family, right? Like those should be locks, and they're not. And that's a pretty bad sign, I think, for Florida football.
And like in isolation, you could excuse or understand any one of these kids not following their dad's footsteps. Like, for example, the perfect example of this, Emmitt Smith's son. Had an offer to play for Stanford. Okay. Sure. No one's going to find fault with that. Stanford is an elite academic institution. Yes. Fine. Respect it. But when you have like Ben Hanks Jr. looking to play for the Miami Hurricanes instead of Florida, when you have Vernell Brown's kid looking to play for Ohio State, when you don't, but you come very close to losing Miles Graham, problem. Like you have to stop and say, no, that's not okay. That's not acceptable. And I hate to keep talking about the overall outlook of the Gator football program with Billy Napier and his, you know, his hot seat status in every show. But again, there's just, it's just a matter of, look, this is where we are right now. This is why these things are happening. And Napier, I don't think that I'm ready to say is destined to fail. I do think there is a path for him to succeed at Florida, but it's an uphill battle. And we just have to sit here and go, you know what? That's the position he put himself in. That's the position we're in now. It's not going to be easy. And we're seeing the effects of it.
No, 100%. And, you know, this offseason is the most important offseason that Billy Napier has ever had with the Florida Gators because they're now his guys. And he's even said it. He's that. That is the message that he's been spewing now for this whole offseason is, okay, we finally have our program where we want it to be. We've got the off-field things where we want them to be. These are our players. The strength and conditioning program is ours. Okay, Billy, that's great. So let's see it. Because that could be, I mean, seriously, because he can't go back now. He can't go back and say, well, you know, this is, you know, this was, you know, somebody else's staff, you know, had all of these guys and it's not our problem. No, this is year three and you've already said this is your program. So guess what? If you win four games this year, that's squarely on you. And I get it. You know, it's the toughest schedule Florida football's ever had. And they've had some really tough schedules, but there's still no excuse for that. It's Florida football. They should be contending for championships year in and year out. And it's been a while since we've seen that. You know, not to tie in Jaden Rashada into all of this, but you know, we have to. This was a huge news. You know, last week, of course, you know, he is now transferring from Arizona State. And you know, guess what? I think we all saw that coming. Like Arizona State's an absolute mess. They hate their athletics director. There's no stability with their coaching staff. And so you clearly understand why Rashada now wants to transfer out. He wants to be in a much more stable place. But, you know, again, we can't have a Florida football show and not talk about Jaden Rashada transferring again. Or, well, sorry, transferring for the first
transfer.
Time.
No, he did transfer out of Florida. He was released from a letter of intent, but semantics.
Even though he never attended any classes.
Right, sure. No, I mean, I think that you know, Eddie Rojas of Gator Collective got a lot of heat when that all went down. The news came out that he terminated the contract before Rashada ever stepped foot at Florida. And that, again, because the contract was terminated well before signing day. It was at least a couple weeks before. I can't remember the exact date. I want to say it was December 3rd or 5th or 7th or somewhere in that area. And he still signed with Florida anyway. So clearly somewhere along the line, whether explicitly or implicitly or just like whispered in his ear or what, someone had to have passed a message along to him that I got to shut my windows because there's lawnmowers outside. But yeah, I mean, clearly somebody passed along the message to him that we're going to work something out. You're going to work at Florida. And he believed it. Otherwise, he would never have signed. So Eddie Rojas does deserve credit for pulling the rug out on that deal, because we now see for ourselves there's no way that he was worth that much. $13 million. I mean, that was arguably, you can say, I don't know why you ever agreed to that in the first place, but okay. But right. Florida, and this is where things get a little positive here. This is one where I think, for better or worse, wherever you want to put the, you know, point the finger at who was responsible for this, Florida got this right, and they dodged a big bullet here.
Yeah, they dodged a big bullet, and they got a better quarterback out of it in DJ Lagway, in my opinion. I mean, I think DJ Lagway, look, you got a guy who set records at Texas in the highest division of football that you can play in Texas. I believe it was the highest, wasn't it? Or one of the highest. I can't remember. But, I mean, the dude looks college football ready. I mean, as a freshman. And he's only been on campus for a couple months. So, I mean, this guy looks like he could start games for Florida next year. So, yeah, I mean, I think they dodged a bullet. Unfortunately, it's come with a lot of negative publicity, you know, and I'm sure that's trickled down in a lot of different forms to other recruits, I'm sure. Other fan bases love to make fun of Florida for it. So not a terrific look, but again, at least they're not dealing with Jaden Rashada anymore being one of their own. And I think that's the most important part. Where he goes, he could be Kirby's problem, because we've heard Georgia's very interested in Rashada. Rashada's very interested in Georgia. I think that's a perfect fit. It's a match made in heaven. He's not going to start right away. Obviously, he's going to sit for at least a year. There's a lot of stability there. He looks like a Mike Bobo guy too. So yeah, I mean, I could see Rashada doing that. Here's my question to you, Neil: are you okay with him going to Georgia, or if you could? Like, if he winds up going to Georgia, are you okay with how all of this played out? Or would you have rather kept Rashada at Florida?
Nope, perfectly happy. Let him go to Georgia. Have fun with his father.
Yeah.
It's clearly not worth the headache, for one thing. Billy Napier pretty clearly expressed that he doesn't do headaches. So that's number one. Number two, and this is where the show gets positive, because, you know, I said at the start of the show that we're going to be critical of the Gators in some aspects, but I'm going to praise them in others. Here's where the praise comes in. I think Billy Napier has done an excellent job, not good or even great. He's done an excellent job at lining up his quarterback room. You got Graham Mertz from Wisconsin, when Gator fans by and large hated that. I mean, the news comes out, he's like, oh no, we don't want that Wisconsin guy. No. Go get me the Grayson McCall. Go get me the Tulane guy, Pratt. I don't want this guy from Wisconsin. No, we can do better. Napier sticks to his guns. He gets Graham Mertz, and he's arguably the third or fourth best quarterback in the SEC last year. Just the team around him was terrible. But, and then, by the way, his heir apparent is the highest rated quarterback we've ever signed. And I mean, I don't know how you evaluate like Brock Berlin 25 years ago, but Tebow. I think Brock Berlin was higher. Tebow was a five-star.
Brock Berlin was higher, which is still absolutely insane to me how that all played out with Rex Grossman. By the way, one of my favorite football, a little tangent here, but just because we're talking about Brock Berlin. So Rex Grossman, so the story goes, was not even recruited by Steve Spurrier. Rex Grossman's father had to send Spurrier, back then it was a VHS tape, sent him a VHS tape and said, look at my son. Look at this kid from Indiana, I think he was from. Like, watch him play. And then Spurrier turned on the tape. He's like, oh, yeah. Oh, this kid can play. He can spin the ball. And so they offered him a scholarship.
We're pretty ball.
Yeah. And then the rest is freaking history that, you know, Rex Grossman was able to, you know, get the starting gig. And I believe, this is going back a little bit, but, you know, they split time for a minute, and then, you know, it was sexy Rexy's time. So
should have won the Heisman in Florida.
Oh, my God. There are so many, dude. I mean, like, Tebow should have won it twice.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, he should have. Like, I mean, I know that's the most Florida homer thing for me to say, but, like, Tebow should have won the Heisman Trophy twice.
I mean, Sam Bradford had so much talent around him in Oklahoma. Tebow did too, obviously, but Tebow did it with his legs and his arm. Bradford was just a good passer. He was a great passer to Jermaine Gresham, Joaquin Iglesias, Manny Johnson, like all conference, all Big 12, and sometimes all American receivers. And you have Moses Madu and Chris Brown in the back. Like, yeah, you're going to look good with those guys. So, I mean, you can say the same for Tebow too. But in any case, yes, DJ Lagway is the highest rated quarterback Florida's ever signed. He's rated higher than Tim Tebow. Take that for what it's worth. John Brantley was also up there. That didn't work out so well. But another very highly rated recruit that Florida got. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lagway.
John Brantley also, you know, had a lot of unfortunate events happening to him.
Steve Adazio.
Yes, and breaking his leg against Alabama, correct?
Yep.
Didn't he break his leg? I believe he broke his leg.
Yep.
So
he hurt his leg. I don't remember if it might have been a break. He got badly injured. I think he came back like for a minute against FSU later that year.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I mean, it was not a good scene. But yeah, I mean, that's what we have in Lagway. We have a historically highly rated quarterback that we got. Yeah. And that's the guy that you have backing up this diamond in the rough you found, where everyone hated the take, but he's turned out to be clearly a top five quarterback in the SEC. So Napier has done an excellent job at his quarterback position. The question is just everywhere else.
I think that most SEC teams would take Graham Mertz if he entered the transfer portal at this point, which is kind of crazy to think about, because a year ago, you know, there weren't many programs that were dying to get Graham Mertz out of Wisconsin. So, you know, anyway, keeping with the theme of headaches in college football, the biggest one might be a kid named Cormani McClain, who obviously has made a lot of news over the last couple of days. He's originally committed to Miami. He had an offer from Florida. He goes to Colorado, follows Dion, just hasn't really worked out at Colorado. But given everything that everyone is saying about Cormani McClain, including his ex-high school coach, I don't know if it's going to work out anywhere, Neil.
I mean, from the people I talk to, I've never met the kid. From the people I talk to, he seems like a decent kid who just had way too much success before he was mature enough to handle it. And I really hate to make this comparison. If there are any like high school girls or college age girls listening to this, I'm sorry, but he seems like a Justin Bieber. Like, he had a lot of success too young, didn't know how to handle it, let it go to his head, and just kind of spiraled out of control. And so there is a degree of, I feel bad for the kid in there. I do. Yeah. There's also a larger degree of, you know, some kids have to learn lessons the hard way. Like, maybe the better football comparison, very different position, but a football comparison would be Johnny Manziel, except the success happened earlier in his life. The Johnny Manziel had success through college. Obviously, it was the level after college in the pros where it didn't work out for him. But, you know, there's only enough shoulder shrugging I can do. Like, he does it to himself. I want to play for a real program, he says. Like, you didn't have offers from a lot of them and you actively turned them all down, including Florida, in a particularly rude fashion, which, you know, okay, he's a kid. Kids are going to maybe not have the best manner. So, okay, I understand that. But now, a year plus, almost 2 years later, you go, yeah, I want to play for a real program. Like, also, you can't say that on your way out of Deion Sanders' program. Oh, like, he's going to out-petty you if you really want to go there. That's a really bad idea.
And it's just a bad look. And he says, you know, I don't, you know, play for clicks, basically.
As he drops a YouTube video.
Yeah, exactly. And basically calling out Deion Sanders for being a show, which he is, but he's a damn good show. And
you
you can't call out your football coach. Like, that's not okay anywhere. It's never been okay. Just enter the transfer portal quietly and have some grace about it. Like, but again, it just goes with his theme, right? Like, that he's kind of a head case. The guy doesn't have very good grades, even though he disputed it. Though, like, look, he's somebody actually made a YouTube video. This was great, of all of the plays that McClain, you know, got wrong at Colorado. So, like, all of the times that, you know, he was basically playing, say, man instead of zone, because guess what? He didn't go to film sessions. He didn't study the film. So guess what? He was off on his own. And in my opinion, I don't even know if Colorado still wants this kid, because he just seems like it was kind of a disaster from the start. You know, now this is where it gets interesting, man. There are a lot of people who say that he could wind up at a place like USF or UCF. Any shot that he winds up at Florida, Neil?
No, I don't. I mean, okay. For the same reason that I said I don't care if Rashada goes to Georgia, because Billy Napier doesn't do headaches. I mean, Florida prides itself. This administration, Florida Victorious, the back then Gator Collective, like all the people in charge of making good things happen for the Florida Gators, pride themselves on knowing everything. Like, they know what recruits like on Twitter and Instagram, like 5 seconds after they do it. Like, they're so hyper aware of everything. And I think that there's a lot of good to come out of that. I'm not saying that's a negative thing. I think that it is good to be aware of stuff like that. But they were blindsided by this when he chose to go to Miami and not Florida. That took everyone by surprise. And then Florida later found out, well, there's a reason why, because this kid, you know, kind of chased the bag, which, okay, you know, you're allowed to do. I'm not hating on that. That's your prerogative. I respect that. If I were an 18-year-old kid or 17-year-old kid with that kind of offer, I would take to do the same thing. But it's the way that he communicated, or in some cases didn't communicate, that Florida was just like, yeah, you know what? Not worth it. We'll go. They then put the press on Jakeem Jackson. They put the press on getting Sharif Denson. They were perfectly content with those guys, and Devin Moore, who was the year before, but they made sure to keep him and make sure he was happy at Florida. Gators are going to be just fine with who they've got, and they're not going to, I don't think, even consider him. And I wouldn't if I were them.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it says a lot too when, you know, your high school coach. I mean, I you and I both played tennis in high school, and not that tennis is the same thing as football, but, you know, I loved my high school coach, right? And he loved me, and it was just such a good relationship. And I can't imagine him ever saying something negative. But, you know, Cormani McClain's high school coach basically came out and said, yeah, it was, quote, a lot of work trying to get him to do the right thing. It was a lot of work from the coaching staff's perspective to consistently get him to do the right thing. And, you know, man, like, he's what, 19 years old? He's a kid. I can't imagine. I mean, the things that I was doing at 19 at the University of Florida, like, thank God iPhones did not exist in my, or maybe they did, I don't remember, but no one really had them in 2007 yet. So thank God for that. Because honestly, man, like, I like to have fun. So did a lot of my, you know, frat brothers and my friends at UF. And, you know, so I'm not like digging on them too much. But at some point, man, like, you really do have to get it together and say to yourself, like, okay, I'm a good football player. I need to prove to people that I'm also a good person. And maybe, you know, a place like USF would be perfect for him.
And I don't think he's a bad person. I think, like the same reason I said for Justin Bieber, I don't think he's a bad person. I think he had too much success too soon and didn't know what to do with it. Didn't have great people around him to give him good, sound advice and maybe tell him no and tell him the things he didn't want to hear, but the things he kind of had to hear. Because look, if you're going to get that kind of NIL deal, you got to provide some value in return. Like schools, their boosters, their collectives, they're going to have to get their ROI at some point when they're shelling out 4 cents, let alone the multimillion dollar package that they're going to be shelling out to get you to play football for them. And obviously he didn't do it. And then, you know, for his high school coach to come out and say that, I mean, that's another reason why Florida wouldn't want him, let alone just the pure headache that the circus he's providing off the field creates. You know, I don't want to play for clicks when you're dropping a YouTube video to announce this like LeBron James style, and yet somehow even more selfish than that at the same time. But again, like Florida and this kid are just not a match, and there's no ill will towards him. I hope he does get it together. He's clearly very talented, but it's just not all clicking upstairs. So no, it's a hard pass for me, and I'm certain that it's going to be a hard pass for Napier too.
Yeah, probably. Hard pass for me too. Neil, thank you so much, man. This has been awesome. Reminder, this is the in all kinds of weather forecasts. You can like, subscribe, or YouTube page. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Go follow AAKOW brand on social media, at All Kinds of Weather on Twitter, at All Kinds Weather blog on Instagram. Also follow the show on Twitter, IAKOW Forecast. That's on Twitter. I'm on Twitter too, Mike A. Gillespie, and Instagram and Facebook too. You can find me there as well. And again, this was awesome, Neil. So thank you so much, buddy.
Always good to have you on and talk Gator football. So I think both of our favorite things to do, and we'll do it again soon.
Sounds good.
Till next time, y'all. Go Gators.